This one's made possible by Bailey Insurance Services. For your home, your health, your auto, and your toys, it's Bailey Insurance Services. To Washington, D.C., and Linda Kenyon.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. Who eats dead bats?
Yeah, well, You know, I think most people eat deceased meat. So, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. The weird story though. An interdicted shipment of dead birds.
Yikes! I can't figure humans out.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, there's a lot of stuff going on that's for the birds. Yeah. Give us the rundown.
So, Linda. the president, by getting elected president of the United States, is that likely going to be a get-out-of-jail-free card for Donald Trump?
Well, that was a lot of speculation when he ran for president for re-election, was that it would be a get-out-of-jail card for him, because you can't send a sitting president to jail. The Justice Department has a longstanding policy on that. However, the Supreme Court's presidential immunity ruling also helped to bolster that, meaning anything that you do while in office that can be considered an official act is immune from prosecution. However, Trump has already been convicted of many, many things, more than 32 felony counts on other cases, one of which is the hush money case. And while he has said he was completely innocent in all of these criminal cases against him, there has been a development in the hush money case. The judge was supposed to decide today whether to throw out the charges, the convictions, postpone even further on how to sentence the now president-elect. Now, this morning came late-breaking word that the judge has agreed, after a petition from both sides, the prosecution and the defense, to delay for 1 week the decision on whether to suspend or to completely drop the hush money convictions. Now, keep in mind that this is a bit of a fuzzy area, and many of the criminal cases regarding the now president-elect are fuzzy, but this one in particular, because he was convicted of acts before he was a sitting president of the United States. So the question is whether presidential immunity applies in this case, which specifically says only official acts while in office. The hush money case stems from a $130,000 hush money payment to porn actor Stormy Daniels in 2016. That was before Trump was president of the United States. And so this is, again, a very fuzzy situation, and we will have to wait another week to see what the judge decides on this case.
What kinds of pressures are on Judge Morshan at this point?
Well, he was also the trial judge, and so he's already very much in tune with the pressures of presiding over a case involving now President-elect Donald Trump. And so he has received, and his family has received, all kinds of threats and scary things. However, he has stuck to his job, and he has not been intimidated by Donald Trump or any of his supporters. And so I cannot imagine that he is going to bow to any kind of political pressure this far down the line. However, they are definitely breaking trail with this case, like many other cases involving the former, now president-elect Donald Trump. So legal precedent is kind of turned upside down.
What about the other things, the other indictments and other things that the former president or the president-elect now has been charged with? What's the status on all that?
Well, they're all on hold. The classified documents case, the various other cases involving the former president, who is now president-elect, the classified documents case in particular, because he was a sitting president when these documents were taken from the White House and stored at Mar-a-Lago in a not-so-secure location. So this is, you know, these are all kind of, you know, in this fuzzy area, again, breaking trail, breaking new ground on this case. We've never had a president elect who's also a former president who has been, convicted of so many acts, criminal acts, before he was president. And not to mention things that, he did while sitting president. So, yeah, this is a whole new world.
You know, when I was in the service, now I was, you know, yeah. I was 19 years old and exposed to some classified documents, not certainly the level that we're talking about, but I was exposed to classified documents, and I was scared to Dickens out of me every time I touched one. And I, in fact, I never stopped touching it. I kept it in my hands. When I was done with it, I put it back where it belonged. A colleague of mine at March Air Force Base in Riverside, California, left one of those documents on his desk overnight.
Mm.
And the next morning, somebody came in and saw it there. And I, he was dishonorably discharged and spent 10 years in Leavenworth for one piece of classified documents. And the classified documents we had were not that sensitive. They were classified. And in many cases, I wondered why, because I would read them and then I would see them in the newspaper the next day. So, but that gives you an idea just how seriously the handling of classified documents is taken. And I'm wondering what kind of a precedent is being set here if we allow even a former president to haul out boxes of these things and then, you know, no consequence.
Yeah, and then not cooperating with the investigators and, regarding returning said documents is really what made the case even that much worse for him. However, you know, the system of justice is clearly different than it was to what it is now, or certainly when Donald Trump is part of the mix. So, yeah, there won't be 10 years in Leavenworth for Donald Trump. Mm. That is for sure.
Well, you know, the most disturbing thing is equal justice is kind of a tenet of the American system. But he, through lawyers, was able to do everything within the system, yeah. But we don't have the wherewithal. So is there equal justice for all, or yeah. Does it take deep pockets?
Well, the one thing all this does, though, is it sets precedents
yeah.
that any attorney at any level can use.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
Well, you know, it does really call into question that, you know, equal justice under the law. Donald Trump had very deep pockets, and if he didn't personally have deep pockets, he certainly had people willing to pay on his behalf, and including members of the Republican Party, the Republican political machine. And so he was able to delay, and to use the law, you know, in a sophisticated and legal manner to postpone or throw out many charges against him that the average American cannot possibly afford to do.
So now we're faced with Congress in a lame duck session, but boy, they've got some work that they've got to get done, or we're going to be done.
Yeah, you know, the federal government is operating under a short-term stopgap funding measure. Congress, as is its practice, has a tendency to not get its work done on time. So it had not passed a full-year budget. So it has been working in fits and starts on these short-term stopgap funding measures to get past various electoral, checkpoints. And the biggest one that was looming large was the election. Well, now the election is over, and funding was passed just to get past the election until December 20th. Now, this is not unusual in Washington. We do have a tendency to associate Christmas and New Year's with government funding disasters. And if they don't pass another government funding measure by the December 20th deadline, when the current short-term measure runs out, there will be a government shutdown. And that's going to be very, very bad for the party in power, which in this case now is going to be Republican across the board. So even though the new Congress will not have taken charge, it will reflect very badly on Republicans who still control the House, possibly control the House, most likely control the House in the new session of Congress, and will also control the Senate in the new session of Congress and the White House in the new session. So yes, this falls on the current Congress, not the new one, but it still will not be a very good look if there's a government shutdown, which costs taxpayers money, does not save taxpayers money, costs them a lot of money. So now they're talking about another stopgap funding measure that will get them well into the Trump administration, so then they can deal with Trump spending priorities. And this would get them solidly into the new Trump administration, which would be a spending measure that will last through March. So that is probably what's going to happen. The March date seems to be the one that is bandied about on Capitol Hill.
I guess shutting down the government at this point would, you say it hurts the party in power. Who's in power? And you can blame the Democrats for it.
Yeah, but the House originates spending, so the House Republicans would get blamed on this one.
Yeah, but they don't have to stand for election for another 2 years. So by then, we'll have forgotten all this.
Yeah, the American people do have a short memory. That is true.
I'm being
it's not a good look.
I'm being facetious here, and I don't mean to be. But the reality is that 2 years from now, who's going to remember that somebody shut down the government for a few weeks while they haggled over something else?
Yeah. Until it sends the country into a tailspin economically, and that could be a very bad thing for everybody. So
yeah.
They may not forget that. Who knows? But the American people, like I say, have a short memory.
Linda, from what you're seeing right now, though, in Congress, particularly in the Senate, are they in a position now to start confirming judges and doing everything they can to get things passed before the end of this lame duck?
Yeah, in the Senate they could do it because in the Senate the Democrats have a majority. The House does not weigh in on judicial appointments. So yes, there's been a lot of discussion about Biden and working together with Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader now, to ferry through several judicial nominations. Why is this important? Because this would be the farm team for the U.S. Supreme Court. And as you know, the Supreme Court can influence American culture for decades to come because Supreme Court justices serve lifetime appointments on the bench. So Donald Trump was able to get three appointees and change the makeup of the court to a very conservative court when he was president the first time. And he may try and extend that conservativeship, if that's even a word, to his incoming term. But nonetheless, what the Democrats can do right now is beef up their farm teams, their federal appointees, who would be the next step to the Supreme Court. And there's also been some talk about having at least one Democrat step down, a liberal justice, if you will, on the Supreme Court, so that the Biden administration can guarantee it will have another liberal justice on the court for generations to come.
I understood that one of the justices that they're talking, I believe it's Sotomayor, is
right.
Not in good health.
She has type 1 diabetic. She's 70 years old. I'm not aware of any complications that she has suffered. She has dealt with diabetes for a very long time. But, maybe they're just looking at that and saying, maybe we should act on this before she gets sick, she ever gets sick.
Boy, they'd have to move awful quick on that, though, because they could run out the time that they have left in the lame duck.
They only have 20 working days in the lame duck, so yes, they would have to work very, very fast. But they're trying to learn lessons from the past, where Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg did not step down because although she was elderly and she was operating at top notch, it was still a case of everybody thought there was no way that Donald Trump would win and Hillary Clinton would win the election, and there'd be no need for any justices to look down the road and, step down so that they could be replaced by a like-minded justice. But that did not happen, and Justice Ginsburg did pass away in the Trump administration and was replaced by a conservative justice, followed by a conservative justice, followed by a conservative. Yeah. So, yeah.
Linda, as always, we appreciate your great reporting, and thank you for drilling down for us this morning.
Thanks, Linda.
Thank you. We'll talk tomorrow.